This is Sea Change Radio, covering the shift to sustainability. I'm Alex Wise.
Just about everybody, except for animal rights activists, really see that there's a problem and believe that whether it's expanding hunting, although there are concerns about doing that, that you could misalign the incentives there, or having the state just go in and do a massive assault, but something needs to be done because there's so much at stake.
You may not have seen them running through your yard, but just wait. Feral pigs are everywhere, and they're a growing problem. This week on Sea Change Radio, we speak with Suzanne Rust, an environmental reporter from the Los Angeles Times. She talks about the millions, yes, millions of wild pigs roaming the countryside and the multitude of problems they bring. Eating like pigs and breeding like rabbits, these wild swine trample fragile habitats and imperil other animals, ecosystems, and even humans. I'm joined now on Sea Change Radio by Suzanne Rust. She is an environmental reporter for the Los Angeles Times. Suzanne, welcome back to Sea Change Radio.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So you have a really interesting piece that just came out in the LA Times about feral pigs and the problems they present. Why don't you first explain what a feral pig is, how it might differ from a domesticated pig, obviously, and a truffle pig or a wild boar?
All right, so feral pigs in California are a hybrid of wild domestic pigs, so pigs that were brought by the Spanish missionaries in about the 1700s, who then were sort of let loose, and they became kind of wild and feral themselves. But what happened in California, and has happened in a few other places around the United States, people then brought in wild boars in the 1900s as something fun to shoot, right, to hunt. And then those boars got free and started breeding with the feral domestic population. So what we have now is this kind of cross between a wild boar and a feral domesticated pig. And biologists sort of refer to them as a super pig because they're this cross, but they seem, they're smart, they're wily, they're incredibly, what's the word I'm looking for here? But their ability to procreate is quite astounding. I mean, we use the expression to breed like rabbits. Think it should be turned to breed like pigs, because they can have up to 4 litters a year, of about 18 each in each litter, and females are sexually mature by the age of 4 months.
4 months, wow, that's incredibly efficient.
Yeah. So what we have is this super pig, again, which is really a cross between a domestic pig that was set free and a wild boar.
And do they cross-pollinate the wild boars and the domestic pigs and these feral pigs, like in terms of their groups, or these feral pigs are kind of unto themselves generally in California?
So at this point, what we basically have in California, and I would say is probably mostly in, is the same in sort of the southern part of the United States, is this hybrid. So you don't really find just pure, I don't think you can find pure wild boars running around anymore. There may be feral domesticated pigs in places, but the real scourge I'm talking about here is this hybrid form, and that's sort of what we find everywhere. And they hang out in packs that are called sounders, which usually consist of at least one sow and her offspring. But for instance, I went up to Mount Hamilton in San Jose, and there I saw 2 sounders, and they each had like 3 or 4 sows in them, plus, you know, I think about 20 to 30 piglets.
So is a sounder, is that just the word for like a herd of pigs?
That's correct.
I see. Or a pod of whales. It's a sounder of pigs.
Yes.
Okay, I didn't know that. That's a good crossword clue. So why is this an environmental issue, Suzanne? Why did you tackle this?
So they're, as I sort of alluded to earlier, they're not native. So they were brought here. And they are, again, these sort of very proliferative breeders. So their populations have just blown up. So we have a ton of pigs. And it wouldn't just be an issue, I suppose, if pigs did nothing except sit in one place and mind their own business. But that's not what they do. They are voracious eaters, and they eat just about anything that comes their way. They eat small mammals.
They eat like pigs, apparently.
Yes, they eat like pigs. Very good. So, yeah, they eat small mammals. They eat amphibians. They eat little birds. They eat bird eggs. They eat grubs and insects and, you know, all kinds of plants. And so what they're doing to the landscape in California is really quite distressing if you're interested in keeping native flora and fauna. They're just eating everything in their way. And so environmentally, they're a scourge. And environmental groups, and I can't remember offhand which ones, but I've seen it written many, many times, have labeled this feral pig form one of the worst, if not the worst native species, I mean, invasive species on the planet because of this kind of harm that they do.
And you write about how hunting doesn't necessarily solve the problem, does it?
No. So as we talked about earlier, number one, these things are, you know, incredible breeders. So to hunt, you would have to be on them all the time. You would just be shooting them like every day and everywhere because you give them a few weeks and another 18 piglets are born. So hunting it would be hard to do. You would have to get sort of an army out to do it. The other issue and the real concern about hunting is, from what I understand, I haven't done it myself, wild boar are a ton of fun, or wild feral pigs are a ton of fun to hunt. They are big, they're large, they've got these, you know, tusks. And so hunters really enjoy hunting them. So there's really the incentive to hunt and kill off an entire population isn't there. Once hunting sort of gets its hooks into it, it becomes something recreational in an area. What you find is that particularly commercial hunters, people who bring people in to hunt, start to import or move the pigs around. So as I read in one article about this, I think the way the author described it, who was actually quoting a scientist, is that these pigs are so are spreading so fast, they move from 55 to 70 miles per hour from place to place. And that's because they get in the back of trucks and are moved by hunters to go from place to place.
Right. And you mentioned how Texas has very lax laws protecting these pigs. They're hunted quite a lot in Texas in these type of farms or in a preserve or whatever. But Texas has by far the highest population of these pigs. So it hasn't really done much to cull their population.
That is correct. The places where they seem to have kept them at bay are places like Montana and Colorado, where they have huge sort of public information campaigns about how terrible the pigs are. So people who live in these states understand, and when they see pigs, they report it to the authorities, right? I think it's squeal on pigs or something like that is Montana's sort of catchphrase for this campaign. And then the state will go in either with hired hunters, like professionals, or themselves, and round up the pigs that they find. So there's not a commercial aspect to it. There's not this recreational. It really is a, if you see pigs, we're going to go in and wipe them out. And they've been able to sort of, as a result, keep pigs out of the state.
Do you have any idea of the numbers that we're looking at in terms of the population just in California, let's say, compared to the domestic pig population? When we're talking about these numbers, how do they stack up against the domesticated pig population, I guess is the question.
It's such a good question, Alex. I have no idea. And I didn't. I mean, I do know there are, I think, 6 million pigs they estimate around North America. That's the wild pigs. But I don't know what the domesticated for meat pig population is. I have no idea.
6 million feral pigs.
Yes. It's a lot. And the number has been growing. I mean, I would have to go back and look, but it's It's not quite exponential, but it's close to it. Like the numbers keep doubling. And they don't know how many are in California. They're probably close to a million here. It's quite a large population. And again, just growing.
Have you seen the little piggies crawling in the dirt? And for all the little piggies, life is getting worse. Always having dirt to play. Piggies in the starched white sheds. You will find the bigger piggies stirring up the dirt. Always have clean sheds to play around in. In the skies with all the packing, they don't care what goes on around.
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio, and I'm speaking to Suzanne Rust, who's an environmental reporter for the Los Angeles Times. So, Suzanne, we think of wild animals as a bigger percentage of fauna than they are in actuality. I've read that humans and domesticated mammals combined are 96% of mammalian biomass. So these pigs are... they are important to an ecosystem. They are devastating in some ways as well. But you mentioned how they endanger flora and fauna. What kind of danger do they pose to humans directly?
So there are a few things they do. One, they can attack. They have been known to kill people. I think 5 people have been killed since, I can't remember the year, I think it was 1825, which doesn't sound like a lot, but they can be aggressive and they can charge. And like, again, I was looking at some of these pigs up in on Mount Hamilton in San Jose, and nobody charged me, but I was definitely getting eyeballed by them and felt uncomfortable, probably because of what I've read. And talking to county land managers, park managers here in the San Francisco Bay Area, and they say in the past few years, they've had about 2 or 3 incidents per year. This was in Santa Clara County, but before the pandemic, they were having upwards of 12, right? They were having about a dozen. And they think as the pig population becomes bigger, we're just going to have more and more human-pig interactions. So these numbers are likely to get worse. But sort of more concerning in terms of human health and how widespread it is, these animals eat a lot, and like all mammals, once you eat something, you then have to get rid of it. And so they poop everywhere, including in reservoirs and streams and rivers. And so there's a real concern by water managers that diseases that pigs carry that humans can carry, and I think we have like crossover on 20, could get into water supplies as well. And the last thing is, again, pigs eat everything. They're really smart. California is a huge agricultural state. Pigs know about farms, right? And it's a scourge for farmers. But I can't remember the year right now. It might have been 2012. There was an E. coli outbreak in around Salinas. And that was what land managers and the USDA sort of came back thinking happened there was that wild pigs got into the lettuce and contaminated it with feces. And that's where the E. coli came from.
And toxoplasmosis, is that a waterborne disease that would be carried through their feces? Or is that similar to what you're describing in farming?
I think that's generally a waterborne disease. So that would be something that would be concerning for water managers.
Mm-hmm. So what are some of the solutions, Suzanne, that made most sense to you from talking to experts in the field?
Well, it was funny. One of the things I asked every land manager I spoke with and every biologist was, you know, do do they have any natural predators? And unfortunately, in the United States, North America, they don't. Tigers are what generally get them in Europe and Asia, and nobody thought it would be a good idea to import tigers and set them loose here.
I think that's a great idea, but we don't have a lot of tigers, unfortunately, in the world.
And apparently mountain lions don't show much interest in them, probably because mountain lions, while big and could take down a human, would have a really hard fight with a pig. And pigs are nasty, and they have these razor-sharp tusks. So mountain lions generally are not a good population check. Wolves are moving back into California. I suppose there is a potential that wolves at some point, if they were able to get back throughout the state, could have an effect. But again, unlikely, because it's unlikely wolves are ever going to get to the level that that would keep pigs in check. So it's really a conundrum. So again, I talked about Colorado and Montana. In states where the pigs are just moving in but haven't yet, they've been able to control them. In places like California, Texas, North Carolina, where Florida, where pigs are already so populated, I mean, they're sort of everywhere. It's a real head scratcher to figure out what we can do to stem the population. Again, you know, there's a concern about opening up hunting. Well, hunting is open, but there's a concern about what sort of incentives hunting puts on the population. I talked to a county park manager who has tried using nematodes, these little like wormy things that she spreads onto parkland, and they go in and kill grubs. And pigs apparently love grubs, so that seems to slow them down a bit. But again, I talked to other managers who say you can't use nematodes sort of like in large areas. It's just not a sustainable way to sort of attack the problem. Plus, the nematodes are really problematic for farmers. They go in and kill all the good things they need in the soil. So other solutions have included things like spreading poisons or sterilizers. But of course, if you do that out in the environment, you're going to potentially kill other animals.
Yeah, and then animals will come and feed on these dead pigs and they'll get sick, right?
Right. So there is there just don't seem to be very many good solutions right now.
I guess they're not edible then. We can't eat them like we do domesticated pigs.
Oh, you certainly can eat them. And I have spoken to hunters who say they're really quite tasty. I mean, they eat acorns, they eat grubs, they eat really yummy food. So therefore, they taste yummy. But again, sort of attacking the population and getting it to a level, or first of all, wiping them out, but then getting them to a level where they're not sort of creating this kind of destruction everywhere. Again, that would require hunting to turn into food. It just doesn't seem like anybody has a really good idea of how to get the population down to zero or in check, even if you could eat them.
And then there are environmental protections in place that probably limit a mass solution in terms of herding them up and slaughtering them for a market type consumption. Maybe you can explain some of the environmental protections that are in place and how that is part of this conundrum you're describing.
Yeah, so right now they're considered, I believe, a non-game animal in California, at least, which means you can't sell you can't sell the meat. There is right now legislation that's been introduced and it's likely to pass that would turn feral pigs into a new category, which would be considered exotic game mammal. And then you could eat that meat. But again, I don't think they want to create a market where you could sell it, because once again, that would create an incentive for people to round up pigs or keep them in order to sell meat.
So if we changed their designation to a game meat and expanded it to a marketplace, you said that is not in place in California. Is that one of the proposals, that instead of looking towards hunters, could there be some kind of government agency that tries to rein in that population and bring them to market?
So I think there is definitely, from what I've been hearing, is a desire to have government agencies, whether federal, state, county, largely be responsible for culling these animals. I think the concern they have with, they could donate the meat, but I think the concern is once you turn the meat into something commercial, you're again going to have those, that issue about people making money off of something and then wanting to keep it here because they're making money off of it. So even if that's the county or the state, I think they just would prefer that this is not a commercial meat, not to be sold. But there, you know, certainly we definitely have issues of food insecurity in California, and so maybe somebody should consider, you know, if the county or the state can gather these things, these pigs up, you know, potentially bring the meat somewhere where it could be consumed by people who could use it.
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio, and I'm speaking to Los Angeles Times environmental reporter Suzanne Rust. So, Suzanne, you mentioned how these feral pigs are not unique to North America. How are some other countries managing their populations, if they are?
Well, so it's funny. They are showing up, again, probably because their natural predators have largely disappeared, tigers and wolves around Europe. So they're suddenly laying scourge to cities there, like Barcelona was running amok a couple years ago with wild pigs in the streets, and Berlin has been having an issue as well. I think they're a problem everywhere, and that's why these environmental groups, I can't remember if it was... Anyway, I don't want to say any of their names because I could be misremembering, but these are international environmental groups who are saying they are the most concerning invasive species in the world. And they have gone to Australia and they're wreaking havoc there. They have hit a ton of the Polynesian islands and they've destroyed rainforests there. It's nobody is handling the issue well and their populations are just growing everywhere. I mean, we talk about cockroaches at the end of the world. It could be feral pigs and cockroaches.
And these feral pigs are fairly uniform genetically across all these areas, or does each one have kind of their own size and uniqueness?
No, it's a question I was really trying to get at because I think it's fascinating. So even here in the United States, right, domestic pigs have been brought in several times over the years. And wild boar have been imported several times over the years. So they're actually different genetic variations of this hybrid, like, for instance, just in North America. In places like, I think, Hawaii, so clearly North America, but not, you know, not continental, and islands throughout Polynesia, those are actually just domestic pigs that have become feral. And then in Europe, it's mostly wild boar, which is the issue. Although, again, there are populations where there have been this sort of mixture. So no, it is not uniform, but they all generally present the same.
So there are problems with wild boar in other countries.
That is correct.
Maybe you can share some anecdotes on how people have been affected by these feral pigs other than attacks and eating crops.
So one area I did not look at too much when I was reporting on this article, again, was this sort of interaction between pigs and farms. But having gone through my Twitter feed reactions after I published the story and also on our website, there looks like, which rarely happens, particularly here in California, there looks like a real convergence from both environmentalists and farmers on a hatred of pigs and a desire for something to be done about it. You know, environmentalists are concerned about how pigs are destroying, you know, again, native flora and fauna. Farmers, you know, they're running across their fields. They're ripping up their crops. They are pooping in their fields. So everybody, just about everybody, except for animal rights activists, really see that there's a problem and believe that whether it's expanding hunting, although there are concerns about doing that, that you could misalign the incentives there, or having the state just go in and do a massive assault, but something needs to be done because there's so much at stake.
And so these animal rights groups obviously care about all animals, but these feral pigs are endangering other populations, I assume.
That is true. Although, again, I didn't talk to animal rights folks for this story, and I probably should have. But again, just based on what I've been reading on my Twitter page, I think the sentiment is you don't go kill an animal just because an animal's killed another animal. Mm-hmm. At least that's what I'm hearing. And this really is a human problem and not a pig problem.
You say they're everywhere. I haven't seen a lot of sounders of pigs wandering the streets of San Francisco. It's largely a rural issue, correct?
Well, yes and no. They've been found in 56 out of 58 counties in the state. Mm-hmm. San Francisco, no. That's one county where they have not been found. The other is Alpine County. Although when I talked to the state about that, they said, you know, we're hesitant to say they're not in Alpine County because as soon as we say that, somebody's gonna show us that we're wrong.
And that's pretty rural, right, Alpine County?
It is pretty rural, but it is at high elevation. And so there may be, it's just they can't find the kinds of foods that they really like up there or can survive sort of the numbers that they can elsewhere. They come out at night. They're very wary of people. I mean, it was funny when I started doing this story, I was like, I need to see pigs. So I sent out a tweet out on Twitter and said, somebody tell me where I can find them. And it took a few days. Somebody told me to go to Mount Hamilton, and sure enough, they were there. But it's true. I live in the Bay Area. I live in San Mateo County. I have, you know, a nice yard here. I've never seen a pig in my yard. But they're more at that urban wildlife interface, right? Which is where there are. But what's concerning is that the populations are growing. As one, I think he was in Monterey County, the parks manager there said, sort of bringing up all of the stuff we talked about in terms of their fecundity, it's they're exponentially growing, and they don't have the resources to keep it at bay.
Well, it's a fascinating story, and we'll point to the piece in the Los Angeles Times on seachangeradio.com. Suzanne Rust, thanks so much for being my guest on Sea Change Radio.
Hey, thanks for having me, and always fun talking to you.
Sway the future to the past and find what will endure.
You've been listening to Sea Change Radio. Our intro music is by Sanford Lewis, and our outro music is by Alex Wise.
Additional music by Little Sonny, The Beatles, and Ralph Stanley.
Check out our website at seachangeradio.com. That's seachangeradio.com to stream or download the show or subscribe to our podcast. Visit our archives there to hear from Bill McKibben, Van Jones, Paul Hawken, and many others. And tune in to Sea Change Radio next week as we continue making connections for sustainability. For Sea Change Radio, I'm Alex Wise.